I wanted to ask you is there really a threat to the English language in this world? Do you think that there might be plenty of people that speak English in the United States and other nations in the world?
I grant you there are a lot of people in this world who speak English, but I also want to say that the majority, even the minority, even though it is a small percentage, is concentrated in certain areas, like the Spanish people in California, and that makes a big difference in the issues of representativeness.
Why is the situation of the immigrants that live in those areas different today than it was a few years ago?
Because of, as we've already said, the number of immigrants is increasing, and also the number of languages that are being spoken. We've now reached 323 languages that are being spoken in America. And also, those immigrants that are now coming in seem to feel more comfortable without ever having to learn English.
I wanted to talk about the point that you made about economic efficiency that your plan would cause. I wanted to ask you how you can compare the $1.3 million that your plan uses to the entire system of democracy. Do you, as the affirmative side, feel that it's not important to uphold democracy?
Well, if you listen carefully to the point that I made, the very argument that you present undermines democracy, because what you are saying is that we should give people a chance to give votes in their own languages. By doing that, it means that we don't trust those people with speaking English, meaning that we don't trust those people with understanding the policies that are being put forward. At that point, there is no question of democracy.
Another question that I had is that, do you think that when the government adopts your policy, do you think that the policy that the government adopts might have an impact on the way the public feels and acts towards people that speak different languages and write in different languages?
It will have a certain effect on these people, but I don't think that effect is going to be that big to such a big extent, simply because we're only testing English as the official language, meaning that we're not banning people from using their own languages in their own communities.
I also wanted to ask a question about the statistics that you mentioned. You say that these statistics are not accurate. I wanted to ask, have you presented any statistics yourself in this debate?
We have presented some statistics, maybe not necessarily related to the same point, but I think it's just a logical answer. The fact that 97% of people seem to speak English in America, but also that the people who took that count were only able to communicate with people who were counted through English.
It's become increasingly clear in this debate that affirmative didn't really prove their case, meaning that their advantages that they're claiming are not really the advantages that we can really account for, and their evidence doesn't really prove what they're saying. Meaning that their advantages are really small, and there's no clear reason and explanation how they would work, how much they will work, and what's such a great benefit of doing their plan. Now, I'll address the couple of disadvantages, and my partner will address the on-case argument. If you really look at the arguments that we made in our first speech, they're saying that making English as the official language carries harmful symbolic effects. Only the argument they're providing is that it's really important to have unity, efficiency, and preservation of opportunity. We agree that those are things that are important, but we don't see a real connection how that answers our basic argument in this case, in this disadvantage that we are offering. The main argument presented by Professor Nirenberg is that language actually equals cultural authority. By passing the law in the United States, the law has to be passed in both houses, meaning upper and lower house, House and the Senate. He has to be majority vote to get the law passed and has to be signed by the president. What that means is that people who are in Congress are representing the people of the United States. By passing this law, will actually send a message that this law is the voice of the majority people that live in this country. But that it's not really a case, because all these ethnic minorities or linguistical minorities will feel threatened because they'll lose their ability to get driver's license, to get married, or to cast a vote with bilingual or multilingual signs. One of the issues that was not also really addressed from our disadvantage is that political thought stems for the usage of the foreign language, meaning that politicians who will pass this law have hidden an agenda which is basically ethnocentric and nationalistic. And they're not really caring about wide variety of groups of people in America, but only that are really American, who can really speak English language well. And those who are not are basically just left out in this approach. So there's another argument that we also are claiming, and it's not answered by the affirmative case, is that politicians use this law to pursue the fear of foreigners, meaning that people who cannot really speak well English language will not be able to get all the things, all the advantages that they're having now, and that will only perpetuate this culture that foreigners are not really Americans, or people who are not speaking English as a foreign language are not really Americans, but this culture will be. Also, we have to, when you compare our disadvantage and the case, we see the case provides only small, minor benefits as opposed to disadvantage, which will create this cultural authority. Now we can look at the second disadvantage, is that Native American culture and language will be endangered by passing this law. It's forgotten by the United States that the United States actually was created on land that was populated by Native Americans, whose culture and language and actual existence was constantly undermined since the creation of this country. By passing this law, we're going to only contribute to the disappearance of language and Native American culture. English-only rules would endanger Indian languages. Minority Report of the U.S. Congress Rules Committee, 96. Protecting and perpetuating Indian languages is essential to the preservation of Indian culture. We are concerned that implementation of an English-only policy on Indian reservation will hinder the survival of Navajo and other native languages. Today, in all Indian languages are threatened. Of the 155 Indian languages still spoken in the United States, only 20 are spoken by Indian children. The Navajo Nation is among 20 nations whose children still speak their native language. Navajo Nation and all other Indian nations have experienced firsthand the effects of assimilation government section English-only policies. Past policies to assimilate Indian children condone physical and spiritual punishment of children who spoke their native language. Many Navajos can still recall being beaten and punished for speaking their language. Many Navajo parents fear that their children will be punished in similar ways and should move toward reenacting such policies to occur. So what we are saying, this plan will only set a bad precedent and perpetuate the oppression, spiritual and de facto oppression of Native Americans, by just basically forcing them to use English as official language in their own sovereign governmental tribal councils, and will send bad precedent, send wrong message to other minorities, and without the language, Navajo and other Indian cultures will lose their identity.
first question that I have for you on the issue of political thought. Do all politicians support this law that we're trying to pass?
If you really accept your plan, it assumes that majority politicians in the United States House and Senate will actually support this plan and they will pass it.
The fact that there will be a minority of politicians thinking otherwise, won't that support the fact that minorities are somehow represented in the government and are somehow protected in the government?
But that doesn't really answer the fact that your plan, passage of the plan, will still undermine that fact, because without regard what they really think, people in the government or politicians in U.S. Congress will pass their plan and actually enact the laws, no matter what minorities think or whether their issues are represented or not.
Still, the existence of that minority of politicians that support minority rights, won't that actually say that part of the American society does believe in those minorities' rights to do whatever it is that they want to do?
No matter whether or not our representation is important, it's not really important issue. The fact is that you're never going to hear some politician on C-SPAN pushing for Spanish language in the United States, or they will address and introduce the bill in another language, and by just putting the fact they really live in this authority of that language, is the English language is the only way.
Okay. Let's move on to a different question. How exactly is our plan going to stop minorities from thinking or speaking their own language?
Well, what you're basically saying of its specific referral to the Navajo or Native American Indians case is that they'll have to actually introduce language in their own tribal governmental actions, meaning that Indian Native Americans are sovereign nations, so anything they do, their tribal council is considered the law, which means that they'll have to conduct their business in English, which they don't really want, and which was undermined for centuries since the U.S. has been created.
You also addressed the issue of mindset, of changing the minority's mindset.
Yeah.
How exactly is this policy of English as an official language going to change all of a sudden the mindset of all these minorities?
It really sets a bad precedent. We are saying, okay, English language is really only good way to express yourself. It's only good, and it's only language that you can use in government, meaning people who don't speak other languages will not be able to pursue and get any of their rights or even driver's license, as you pointed out.
I'm going to speak about why the plan which the affirmative presented in this debate has no advantages, and in fact, there are great harms to doing their plan. If you go on to advantage one, she tells us that their plan actually does create a mosaic because it has an organizational pattern. There is no organization that the affirmative speaks of. All they do is they put a greater emphasis on the English language. They don't provide a better organization for it. The next argument that I would like to address is that people see their government as an example, and they will follow what it promotes, and in this case, people will become more unaccepting of people who do not speak English. My third argument is that the evidence that we presented to you is from the United States federal government, and the negative, in fact, does not present you any evidence to oppose ours. We tell you that 97% of people in the United States speak English, and the United States federal government tells you that 99.9% of all the documents that they publish are in fact written in English. So the affirmative case will not change anything. And there is no threat to the English language because plenty of people in this country and in other countries around the world speak English. Going on to advantage two, if those who do not speak English very well are able to find out more about different political candidates through brochures and different news articles that the people who do not speak English are able to obtain in their language will make our democracy very strong. But if these people cannot read the ballots, this completely defeats the purpose of democracy. The evidence that they read to you says that the foreign language ballots destroy democracy because the citizens do not understand what the candidates stand for, but the author of their evidence in fact ignores that the political candidates will campaign as much as possible in all the languages to win over as many votes as possible. Going on to the next argument is that the negative tells you that democracy is much more important than a few million dollars that we spent printing the extra ballots. With democracy comes equality, freedom, and economic advancement, which will definitely outweigh any economic cost that the affirmative presented to you in this debate round. To talk about the advantage three, by providing people with the option to fill out their documents in the language which they speak, we will allow them to take the first step towards achieving the American dream, towards achieving education and training which they will need in order to become successful. And if the affirmative plan is passed, this will not happen. And in fact, the rights of these people will be taken away. According to the United States Congress Rules Committee, it says, ironically, official English laws and proposals do nothing to increase resources needed to provide English instruction. By restricting the federal government's ability to communicate with and provide services to non-English speaking Americans, many of whom are children and the elderly, we would in fact inhibit and deny fair and equal access to such basic and fundamental services as voting assistance, education, social security, and police protection. By not allowing the minorities to understand the opportunities and the rights that they have, the English non-speakers will never be able to work towards achieving the American dream, which the goal of the affirmative seems to be. What I want you to understand is that there is absolutely no need to pass this plan, but if you do choose to pass it, you will stop democracy and any possibility of advancement for those citizens who do not speak English.
The negative has presented us with some very strong disadvantages. But as I will explain to you, these disadvantages do not have the impact that they claim they have. And you will clearly see that the advantages that the affirmative is going to get from the plan will outweigh any disadvantages the negative claims. I will first look at the disadvantages, and then I will move on to the advantages of CASE. The first disadvantage is the ethnocentrism, the idea that when we give pass this law, that it's going to creep into the rest of society and it's going to destroy the culture that exists today. This advantage gives too much weight to one law. People will still maintain their color, their culture. As Anta has shown you, and she's read, that they will still be able to speak the language of their choice in their households. They will still be able to interact and communicate with each other. There will be no reason for them not to be able to maintain their own culture. Now, the biggest argument that we have coming across from the negative is that the politicians may have a hidden agenda. They're just assuming this. There is no reason that we need to assume that all of our politicians are evil and that they want to enforce an ethnocentric idea and want to have nationalism, that they could very possibly be wanting to unite our country and help all of us succeed as a whole, and that we want to unite our country for the best for every single person, not just for the majority, but also for the minority. Now, if you go on to the idea of the Native Americans, you'll easily see that the same idea cross-applies. Now, they're claiming that the Native American culture is going to be submersed. Now, it won't, because Native Americans will still be able to teach their language. They will still have their powwows and their group gatherings, and they will still be able to teach the culture and their language, and it will still be able to thrive. The only thing they will not be able to do is hold their governmental meetings in any other language besides English. So there may be a little bit of oppression, but it's not going to be the impact that they're claiming, where these cultures will be oppressed and never occur. No, these languages still will be able to be discussed and taught and learned, and the culture will thrive in the Native American communities. Now let's look back at Case. Our advantage one. The negative basically says that people are already speaking English, but there really is a threat. As Anka proved, there is still a question as to how many people are really speaking English. Even if it's a large majority, we are left with, what should we do with the people who don't speak English? Should we just leave them hanging, or should we help unite them into our community? There's a need for unity in the government and the unity among all people. Without English, the groups won't be able to interact. We need to have English as the official language. They say on efficiency that we need to uphold democracy, and we agree with this wholeheartedly. But as John Silver told us, the idea of people participating in a system in which they do not understand the language of the majority is degrading to the citizen. They are not upholding democracy. The only true way to uphold democracy is to unite us and to promote an efficiency where we all are able to speak English. And the third one is opportunity. They say that we are decreasing the rights of the people and not allowing for them. But the rights that they are decreasing, that we could be decreasing, are made up for in the exceptions that have been read in the plan. What we are showing, as we have talked about in the Texas University study, that people who do not speak English earn 20 times less than that people who do speak English earn. And we need to overcompensate this and to make sure that all minorities have given an equal opportunity. And the best way to do that is to ensure that they have the incentive to speak English, by making sure that all government official documents are printed in English.
Okay, why we are winning this argument? I'll give you the three or four major reasons why we are winning this argument or this debate. First is affirmative provides you with really questionable and not quantifiable advantages. Second, still, thing is that they still didn't sufficiently answer our two dissides, meaning that they're really sending a wrong message, and they're actually oppressed people, which they've conceded in their own argument, and also they're undermining the democracy for people who are not going to be covered for minorities who do not speak English language. Okay. On their position on unity. There's no real threat to English language. They didn't provide us with evidence that there's a fact that we actually mentioned. There's 90%, 99% of the documents are in English. And there's no real threat in that fact, and no evidence was presented to refute this fact. Also, there's a question how much unity we are sacrificing, how this unity will be achieved, and we had the unity in this country for 200 years. How come suddenly this unity is on decline right now when we always had minorities in this country? Going on to position of efficiency. People who are voting know basic English. That's really important because they will understand actually the policies that are implemented. It's only by allowing them to understand basic arguments, people will actually feel more comfortable when they go to the voting booth and have the ballot in different languages, as opposed to just doing the sign, just passing this law. So what we are saying that they're actually will undermine the efficiency of democracy, and that democracy is more important than saving a couple million dollars. And the fact that is that U.S. economy is doing so well that spending so much money wouldn't hurt the economy at all. Also, going onto opportunity, there's rights of people are being taken away. That is the conceded argument throughout the debate. And we should win just only on that because they perpetuate oppression of Native Americans. And there's no mechanism how people will actually learn the language. If somebody tells you have to speak this language, you have to learn it now, what happens with those people, no real mechanism how they will learn this language. Okay, we stop the democracy and undermine minority issues and perpetuate majority. Also, no classification of how much opportunity we are providing and how we'll do that. Also, it is they conceded the argument that their law is ethnocentric because they conceded the point that Navajo Indians will be oppressed. Even if they speak their own language, government sends a bad message that Native language is worth less than an English language. They are not, on the issue of politicians, they are not evil, and that's it's, or that's irrelevant. It is the fact that government imposes the language on the minorities which are not represented. Also, not the best issue, fear of the foreigners. Not addressed. We could only win on that argument on this side. Also, they considered their plan will endorse oppression. The government imposed English on them and will decrease participation. This way, we Native Americans will be undermined. So why we win this debate is because there's going to be fear of foreigners. There's going to be undermining of the culture and the fact that their advantages are questionable and not quantifiable.